Park has been awesome. Let's it go.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
LeBron James with no regard for human life.
Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA.
Gonzaga, the slipper still fits.
All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
There are no flags on the field.
Welcome back for episode 37 of Hit Single. It's been like 3 months since my last one, so I figured I should probably do something since sports are in full force at this point. And NBA just wrapped up. We got college football starting for Big Ten. It's already been going for a few weeks for every other conference. I figured in the heat of things, we'll bring it back. And with the return of Hit Single, we also have Phil Haynes with us today. How is it going?
I'm back. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Trying to stay warm, but I know I'm one of your favorite guests, so I'm here to give the people what they want. So.
yes, favorite guests, if that's how you want to put it. Sure. I don't know what the weather's like down there, but it just got cold here, and I don't like it at all. It was like 80 on Friday, and then today was 45 when I stepped out for lunch, so that was fun. All right, we'll start with our love 30s, and we'll kick to you with your first one, only one. I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm going with the rookie NFL quarterbacks. We saw that Tua Tagovailoa was announced as the Miami Dolphins starting quarterback. So I'm kind of excited to see what he puts out there. It's Tua time. But we've also seen Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert play spectacularly so far this NFL season. So I think it's kind of early, but I think this crop of NFL quarterbacks that came in this draft class is pretty impressive and something that we're going to keep our eye on for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting that you say that because both of our teams are the ones that get to see these rookie quarterbacks in action so far. I think Herbert has surprised me more than anything so far because I think he was one of those guys going into the draft where, you know, he was that arm talent kind of guy where he had some struggles in college, but you knew the talent was there. You knew he had the arm to do what he wanted. It was the consistency that lacked in college. And then he came out and he's been on fire. I did not expect it this early, which is cool. I liked him as a prospect. I just didn't know that he would be as effective as he has been this early. But Joe Burrow's been a lot of fun, obviously, as a Bengals fan. The team still sucks. They're still terrible. But, this was a lost season to begin with. This was just more about getting Burrow some playing time and getting him and the younger receivers like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd some chemistry going with him, because there is zero chemistry with him and A.J. Green right now. So, which kind of sucks, but whatever. A.J. Green is not really in the future plans, so it's not the worst thing in the world, I guess. But, I gotta ask you, do you think, I'm all for rookies getting their shot, but Tua getting announced as a starter just seemed a little weird to me, given the situation that the Dolphins are in and how well Fitzpatrick had been playing so far this season.
Yeah, I think this was their timeline, Miami's timeline, but I don't think they expected to be 3-3 at this point of the season. Because I think they have a bye coming up, I think, or maybe they just had the bye. I'm not quite sure, but I think that was the plan. Like, coming out of the bye, they're going to have Tua start. I don't think they expected to be in the thick of things in the AFC playoff picture. It is strange. And you heard Ryan Fitzpatrick comments talking about how it kind of felt like he's been fired and one of those This is one of the teams that he's been on that have actually felt like his own team. Yeah. But I mean, it's hard. You draft him what, top five or whatever. I mean,
right.
You kind of want to get the most out of him before you have to, you know, pay him, you know, big quarterback money. So yeah, it's tough.
Right. Yeah. It was just interesting to me, given the state that the Dolphins are in. I mean, they're 3-3, like you said, and they're what, one game out in the division. Cause as far as I remember, the division, what, the Bills are leading it at 5-2. So they're two games out. One game out, one and a half, whatever that is. But yeah, I mean, the Dolphins are going into a bye currently, but then the first game that they play coming out of the bye is the Rams. So you're throwing Tua in against Aaron Donald in his first game, which is going to be fascinating. I don't know if that's the absolute best situation, but and they've got an all-pro corner in Jalen Ramsey on that end too. So it's not going to be easy for Tua in that first game. And the Rams offense has been known to score points. So if they need to score points, if they need to get into a shootout, I don't know. I don't know where Tua's going to fall in that. We'll find out. But yeah, I do feel bad for Ryan Fitzpatrick in the sense that I think this was probably one of the best starts to a season he's had, because everyone kind of knows he's that guy who plays well in stretches, like, you know, 3-4 games of playing really well and then 3-4 games of being the worst quarterback in the league. But this was like 6 straight games where he played pretty well and then he gets benched. So I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand that Tua is their future. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not. Anyway, I'll move on to my love 30. And my love 30 is that OSU football is back. I mean, I don't know if I love the idea that football is being played in general, college football especially, but I'm going to watch every game. I'm going to watch OSU go out there and play every single week, as much as I, in the back of my head, I'm just telling myself that this is probably a bad idea. And we're seeing it right now with Wisconsin, with what, they've got 2 quarterbacks that tested positive, a 3rd one out with an injury. So they're down to a 4th string because of COVID. And I think you mentioned that they're what, like right at the threshold where they might not even be able to play this week. So man, It's a very tough situation where obviously I think a lot of people need something aside from just like cooped up at home and nothing to do, nothing to watch. And like college football is, I don't know, it does give people a release, but at the same time, public health, I don't know. it's tough. I don't envy the decision makers in this process. Anyway, we'll move on to word association. And our first one is, we're like a week and a half overdue, 2 weeks overdue on this one. But the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. What was it, 4-2, the series score,
yep.
I think? 4-2 to get their 17th championship, and that's LeBron's 4th, AD's 1st. What was your reaction? As a Lakers fan, how did that feel for you?
I'm going to say emotional, not just because I'm some idiot on Twitter who likes the Lakers, but for the players and the staff and everyone who was involved in that bubble environment. They were in there for months. I bet that was hard. I bet they're relieved. But yeah, you talk about the Lakers, you saw LeBron hugging teammates and you saw Anthony Davis, you know, tearing up on the sideline. Like, it was just an emotional time. And then we all know why they're in the bubble in the first place. Such a difficult situation as far as, you know, the world. And then, you know, what happened in January with Kobe Bryant, with the Lakers organization and everyone. You know, I bet it was just such an emotional time for them. And, you know, they're happy now that they, you know, LeBron has his 3rd Finals MVP with a 3rd team. And, you know, kind of the trade for AD kind of pays off immediately. Yeah, so now with their 17th title, they're tied with Boston, their rival. So I bet that's pretty cool for them too. So I'm gonna go with emotional for the Lakers title this season.
Yeah, for sure. I think I have to think that this is probably the most meaningful one in LeBron's career. Maybe the Cleveland one, in just because of, you know, his home, quote unquote, hometown. But yeah, I think with everything, like you said, that was surrounding the Lakers this season, and the whole, and obviously Kobe's passing kind of looming over that franchise. I think this definitely meant a lot to the franchise, and I think it meant even more to LeBron, because this was kind of like his, like, I won't say defining moment, but this was kind of the point where it's just like, if you didn't have him in the conversation with MJ at this point, this has to be the one. I mean, I know Miami's not like the best team he's ever played in the finals, but I think the path that he had to the finals is probably the toughest he's had. And it kind of paid off with maybe getting a not as good team in the finals as we may have hoped. Like, I think, I mean, Miami was great. I'm not going to like take anything away from them, but I think just overall talent wise, they were probably like third or fourth in the East. And I don't think anyone really had them in the finals, like going to the finals, going into the playoffs. It was kind of just like Toronto or Boston or, Milwaukee, obviously, but Miami had a great playoffs and they're on the up and up. They've got some nice rookie, Harrow, just who played out of his mind in this playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of those where LeBron put everything he had into this, and you could tell every single game, and he did it with, what did he have like for half the playoffs, like a groin injury. And you could tell, like, there were several games where he looked like he was hurting, but he would still go out there and put up triple doubles. He wanted this title, you could tell. I just focused on the LeBron part of this, and I just said GOAT. I've been on the side where I think LeBron is a GOAT for a while. This didn't really change that, but this kind of just confirmed it for me. It was the dude's fucking like 38 overall or 38 years old, and he's out there still when he needs to, the best player on the court day in and day out, and it's unheard of. There's really not much you can say about LeBron at this point as a basketball player. He's the GOAT. This title was just everything I needed to confirm the fact that I think he's the GOAT. Let's move on to NFL. And the Browns had some not so great news come to them this week with OBJ tearing his ACL and will now miss the rest of the season. My reaction to this was that they just can't have nice things. What's their record right now? Like 5-2, 4-2, and even they're above 500, 6 games into the season for the first time in like 2 decades. And what is their record? 5-2. Yeah, they're 5-2. And what sucks for them is not only are they 5-2, they now are missing arguably their best player on offense, actually two of their best players on offense, with Chubb and OBJ out for extended time. And they're having their best season in a while, and they're still third in the division. How shitty is that for them? I mean, I don't feel bad as a Bengals fan. I really don't. I don't feel bad that they're third in the division, because whatever, screw them. But as a Browns fan, I feel like this is just kind of like their death. Just like, we can't have nice things, because, you know, you finally start having a good season. Chubb goes out for several weeks. OBJ goes out for several weeks. The Steelers are undefeated. The Ravens are 6-1, 5-1, whatever they are. So it's like everything the Browns do, as positive as this season has been for them, it still might not be enough. Which, again, I don't care. I hope they lose every game for the rest of the season. But if I were a Browns fan, I would be pretty disheartened by this. What about you?
I had cursed. It's pretty much the same lane that you're going down right now. I mean, I don't care what the numbers say, you know, when Baker is targeting OBJ, you know, versus when he's not. You're a better football team when OBJ is on, you know, healthy and available as a weapon out there on offense. So, man, like, good thing there's an extra playoff spot in the, this year. So they probably won't have to sweat it out too much if they continue playing the way that they are. But, man, like, you don't want to see guys like Chubb or OBJ, you know, go down like that. It's tough. It's cursed. It's already been like a weird kind of tenure for him in Cleveland. So I mean, I'm not ready to ship him off. I think he's good where he's at, but I don't know what's going on in Cleveland. It's kind of bad luck on his part, and then, you know, kind of the Cleveland curse thing. So
yeah, and even looking at the replay, I don't know if you saw like the play that he got hurt on. At the time, in real speed, and even in the slow-mo replay, it was hard to find where exactly his knee, like when he tore his ACL on that play. It looked like a weird collision, but it just looked like a collision. That's it. Like, normally with the torn ACLs, you see their knees bend in some weird direction, or they plant wrong, or whatever. You see that moment where the ACL tear happens, and in this one I've watched it like 30 times and I can't figure it out. Obviously I'm not a doctor or anything, but you watch enough sports where you can kind of tell where exactly these injuries happen on a play, and I can't tell on that one. It's just so fluky the way it happened too. So yeah, just how it goes with football, and yeah, like you said, cursed. Browns forever cursed. Our last headline is very much a non-story, but I felt like I had to put it in here just for fun. But Trevor Lawrence says, quote unquote, who knows about his NFL plans. And this is obviously with currently, I think the Jets would have the number one pick if the draft was now. Yeah, they're the only team without a win. So take that for what you will. Maybe it has something to do with the Jets. Maybe it doesn't. Who knows? What was your reaction to Trevor Lawrence saying, who knows?
I was like, okay, bro, like you're not going to stay at Clemson. You're not going to play another season at Clemson. You've already said that this is going to be your last season at Clemson. So you're going to go to the Jets and you're going to like it, Trevor Lawrence.
Well, you won't like it.
Right.
Well,
no, but I mean, I don't see him as a guy who's going to say like, he's going to try to enforce some sort of like power play here. I don't see like an Eli Manning situation or like a John Elway situation back in the day. Like he's going to come out and he's going to play for whoever has the number one pick. And, you know, that's what it is. I mean, he'll be fine wherever he goes. And if he goes to a team like the Jets, I'm sure Gase isn't going to be there when he's so you have a better coach there. So this is his last year at Clemson. That's all I
say. Yeah. Yeah. My reaction was just stop. It's not anything. The Jets are a mess right now, but like you said, Gase won't be there. I mean, he shouldn't be there right now, but he won't be there by the time Trevor Lawrence gets drafted. And they've got, no, I can't even say that with a straight face. They have really no players to build on. Other than like Mekhi Becton, who apparently has been really good so far this year, but which is good because, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to need at least one competent tackle or offensive lineman. Yeah. But yeah, he's going to the NFL. It would be dumb of him to pass up whatever, like $35 million in to play another season of college football. No. Get out of here. That's not happening. So we'll move on from that. That was a non-story. I just wanted to gauge your opinion on that. All right. This one, I don't really have a topic for a category name for this. We'll just call this discuss. I'm just curious. All right. So the Dallas Cowboys obviously are now down to what, their third string quarterback after that brutal hit that Andy Dalton took this past week. They are, what, half a game out of the division at 2-5 because the division absolutely sucks. It's the worst division of football, and it's not even close. It might be one of the worst divisions I've ever seen. And this is saying a lot when the AFC South has existed for the last like decade, and they've also been terrible. But the NFC East is currently being led by the 2-4-1 Philadelphia Eagles, who have been outscored by 33 points this season. Anyway, I wanted to ask about the Cowboys. I saw someone said this. Oh man, I'm blanking on who said this, but someone threw up the idea of the Cowboys trading for Jameis. Where would you land on that? Given their spot in the division right now, where would you land on the Cowboys trading for Jameis? They have the weapons.
I don't think it's a terrible idea. He's probably the best backup quarterback in the NFL right now. And if you're down to a third string guy, we've seen what Jameis has done in Tampa Bay, and obviously it wasn't great. That's why he's not there anymore. But I mean, this division's so funky. Like a guy like Jameis, I mean, that he might win you a game or two, and that might be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. So I don't think it's a terrible idea. I'm not sure if they'll actually go down that route, but. I mean, just, man, Dallas, like, they're down to the third-string quarterback. Ezekiel Elliott can't hold on to the ball. Their defense is atrocious. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just a microcosm of the whole division, but, yeah, I mean, everyone's still in it, and maybe they might have to make a move, but, yeah, I mean, Jameis wouldn't be a terrible idea.
Yeah, as long as you're not giving up too much, which I assume trading for Jameis isn't going to require more than, I would say, a third round pick. And even that might be generous. It's just, he's going to be the best healthy quarterback you have on your roster. And we know Jameis isn't afraid to throw the ball. He'll throw picks, yes. And there'll be a lot of backbreaking picks that he'll throw. But he'll also get you some points. He'll score some points for you. And with a defense like what the Cowboys have right now, that is maybe the worst in football currently, you need someone who's going to put points up for you. Because right now, the Cowboys, through however many games they're through right now, seven games, they're getting outscored by almost 70 points. And yeah, they've given up 243 points this season. And no one else is even close to that. The second highest is 221, and that's the Browns. Yeah. The second highest points given up is 22 points below them through seven games. I mean, that's not good. Obviously their defense needs help, but I don't know where they're going to get defensive help at this point. I think it's not for lack of talent, I don't think, on that end. It's just obviously a schematic thing. I think it's, number one, a schematic thing at this point. But, yeah, offensively, you can't be – if this division wasn't so bad, I wouldn't advocate for this. But they're half a game out of the lead. What do you have to lose? You make the playoffs. Jameis could probably get you into the playoffs with how bad this division is. And who knows? Who knows what happens once you make the playoffs? That said, if you're a Cowboys fan and you'd rather just tank, then yeah, making the playoffs is bad for tanking. You're not going to get that high pick that you probably want. But I don't know. I would say it's worth a shot with a shitty division. And again, you have talent on your roster. And you're probably the most talented team in your division at this point. It's just something isn't clicking so far. Might as well try to get to the playoffs and hope things click at that point. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being optimistic. Maybe the things will just never click and they'll just lose every game for the rest of the year. I don't know.
See, I would say that Jason Garrett doesn't sound so bad now, but you look at the Giants and they stink too, so. I don't know.
Grass is always greener. All right. let's do a rank them, and we'll do favorite NBA players whose careers were ruined by injury. And ruin, I'm taking very loosely here, because a couple of mine here are guys who still ended up having decent careers, just, you know, not who they probably could have been. But we'll start with your number five. Who'd you got? Who'd you have for that one?
I went with Penny Hardaway. I wasn't old enough to actually see him in his prime, what would have been his prime, I guess. But from what I've read, what I've seen, man, he would have been a monster if he was healthy. And obviously, if he stayed healthy, I would have, you know, been old enough to kind of watch him play. And maybe things would have been different if he was healthy. Maybe Shaq would have stayed in Orlando. You know, it's just seeing the impact he made on the league, even while being injured, is something that I wish I would have saw when I was younger. But yeah, I think we missed out on a good talent in Penny Hardaway if he didn't get hurt in his time in Orlando. And he was able to kind of play for some other teams after that. But man, he would have been so much better if he would have stayed healthy.
Yeah, and he was that like, I don't know, combo guard type of guy who do it all guy. Anyway, my number five was Sean Livingston. So Sean Livingston, obviously everyone knows that he had that just brutal, what was it, ankle injury? The broken ankle, or was it broken leg? I think.
Yeah. Might have been like a kneecap or something. I don't remember.
Oh, was it kneecap? Damn. That's what it was, his knee injury, yeah. Dislocated kneecap, and he broke his left leg. So yeah, it was a brutal injury. Tore his ACL, PCL, and meniscus. Jesus. Yeah. He was one of those guys who I think if he ended up still having a pretty long career after that, which was shocking given how serious that injury was at the time. But I think he was one of those guys who could have definitely turned into kind of like one of those primary options on a team versus kind of becoming a sixth man off the bench type of guy that he ended up being. And obviously everyone now knows him as, you know, that bench guy for the Warriors during their dynasty. But yeah, he was definitely one of those guys, I think, that was on his way to being like a legitimate star in the league. And then that injury kind of, he obviously fell off a little bit, but again, ended up having a pretty decent career after that and won a couple rings with the Warriors, but obviously not in the role that I think he was destined for if he hadn't had that injury. Number four, what you got for that?
I had DeMarcus Cousins. So he had a really good career in Sacramento. Worthy enough for a max contract, and Sacramento didn't want to pay him, so they traded him to New Orleans, and we saw what he was able to do when he teamed up with Anthony Davis and Rajon Rondo. They had a pretty solid season with them, but then he got injured towards the end of the year, and yeah, kind of it messed up his money and it messed up his career. And so, you know, he leaves New Orleans and goes to Golden State and doesn't really play much and gets hurt. Then goes to the Lakers and gets hurt before the season starts. And so it doesn't look like he's ever going to be able to get back to the level of play that we saw right before his initial injury, which sucks. But yeah, he was, man, it sucks because Sacramento was such a disorder. Like, they're just so bad as an organization. And they had, it almost like they had a hand in ruining his career. They should have just paid him and kept him there, and maybe things would have been different. But that's what I had for number four.
All right. Yeah. I didn't even think of Boogie until I saw you put him on your list. My number four, I said Grant Hill. I think Grant Hill was one of those guys who was on his way to superstardom in the NBA. He, just kind of looking through his stats from his younger years, he averaged through his first five seasons was right around 20, 21 points a game. And then his sixth season, He jumped that up to 26 points a game after, like, through 74 games. And then the ankle injury started coming in. And after that, I mean, he missed in the next 6 years that he was in the league, he missed over half of the games that, you know, he could have played. He missed an entire season in 03, 04. And he never averaged even, let's see here. His 04, 05 season in Orlando was the closest he got to hitting 20 points a game again. And that was as a 32-year-old. I mean, he was never the same player, obviously. He was never the scoring superstar that he could have been. Or, like, I guess really just overall do-it-all type of guy. He was kind of a two-way player. But, yeah, I mean, he was one of those guys who I think was genuinely going to be a superstar. And then ankle injuries just derailed his career. And, again, he's, like Sean Livingston, ended up having a pretty long career after that. I mean, he played till, 40? He played till he was 40 and turned into actually a pretty dependable role player. But, again, not the role that he was originally on a path for, which sucks because he was one of those guys who I think – would have been a lot of fun to watch if he had been kind of like that superstar for extended time. All right, number three.
I had Andrew Bynum. So in 2008, he suffered an injury the same year that the Lakers lost to the Celtics in the championship. And that was, he's one of the reasons why they ended up trading for Pau Gasol. Because they needed a big man, and they couldn't trust that he was going to be on the floor. And then next year he gets hurt again, right before they think that he's going to miss the playoffs, but ends up playing and they end up winning the title. But man, he was such a good big man. He was young. But he was good around the rim, good rebounder, good shot blocker. Then he gets traded out to Philadelphia. And then we all kind of know what happens there. He's sitting on the bench and, It's a weird situation there. And then where he went to the Cavs, I think, and Indiana maybe. He just never got healthy. He was never able to stay healthy ever. And who knows what his career would have been like, because at that time the big man was kind of starting to phase out a little bit. But man, if he was healthy, you know, he would have won a few more championships probably. So it sucks, but yeah, it was just a weird situation with him.
Yeah, he was a double-double machine when he was healthy. Mm-hmm. All right, my number three, I went with Derrick Rose, just for obvious reasons. Youngest MVP to ever win it, I think he was, and then obviously he tears his ACL not once but twice, and obviously. Coming back from one torn ACL is hard enough, especially the way he played. He was a very aggressive player on offense. Drew a lot of contact, going to the rim. Then he tears the ACL again, and I think that was effectively the end of the Derrick Rose that we knew at the time. He was kind of... The year that he won the MVP, I mean, he was the... on the Bulls team that was kind of deemed as the one team that could maybe stop LeBron in the East. And, you know, things changed a little bit after that. Not that, you know, as a Cavs fan, that hurt me any. what's funny is that, like, I didn't like that Bulls team. I actually didn't even like Derrick Rose all that much then. But I think I've come to kind of appreciate his just as the NBA player that he's turned into now. And he's, you know, kind of taken that step back, which obviously he had to with the injuries, but he's taken that six-man role and had a pretty good last couple of years. What was that game 2 years ago where he scored like 50-something off the bench or something like that? I don't even know if it was off the bench, but he scored 50-something, which seemed like it was impossible just like 5 years ago when he could barely even stay on one team. I mean, he just kept bouncing around from team to team because he couldn't stay healthy long enough for it to be worth it for a team to keep him. But yeah, Derrick Rose, number three. All right, 2-1. I mean, we have the same 1-2. I guess we could just talk about number two collectively. Brandon Roy. I mean, it's hard to. I don't know, man. Brandon Roy was one of those guys who, for me, was like one of my favorite players to watch back then, and it was one of the reasons where I like kind of became like a not a Portland fan, but they were definitely a team that I tried to root for as often as I could. And man, he was real good when healthy. Problem is, he was never healthy for longer than like 10 games at a time. It sucked. I also blame Portland because Portland just sucked at keeping guys healthy. I don't know. I'll let you say some stuff.
Yeah, he was Rookie of the Year, perennial All-Star, made All-NBA a couple of times. He was going to be a Hall of Famer. He was on that track. He was so good. But, man, he just seeing an injury like that, it's like really – you can see because it really wasn't – I mean, injuries really aren't people's fault, but it's like he just couldn't catch a break. And even while trying to fight through all his injuries, he was still able to have that kind of career where he was one of the best players in the NBA. It's just remarkable. And I wish we were able to see more of it, but fortunately we can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize he retired when he was 28. That is crazy young. Man. Portland robbed us of a Hall of Fame career there. Number one, near and dear to both of our hearts, Greg Oden. Also with Portland, because nothing good happens to Portland. I don't know what goes on in that trainer's room there, but God, Greg Oden. I mean, he had maybe the greatest college season I've seen, like in person at least, or that in the time that I've watched basketball. The dude was hampered for half of that college season too. He was on one hand for most of that season and still absolutely dominated that year with just one left hand, not even his good hand, his offhand. Shooting free throws with the offhand that entire season. I mean, he was like the most dominant big man I've seen play at the college level, at least. And I'm convinced, no one will convince me otherwise, that he was going to be a star in the NBA. He didn't really play all that much. I mean, I think in a span of like 5 years, he had played one season's worth of games, I think I saw. Something like an 82 full games in 5 years. And when he played, he was good. Obviously, he just didn't play that much and couldn't stay healthy because he had 40-year-old knees. No, more like 80-year-old knees. Yeah. I don't know. I'll let you take it away, too.
Yeah, he wasn't a bust because he couldn't play. It was only because of his injuries. He, like you said, the few games that we did see of him, he was a good player, and he was going to be a good player in the NBA. And what really sucks is after all those injuries, he kind of fell into like a weird state. I think he battled addiction or something like that. So it was just a sad situation, and you know that it could have went sideways really quickly. It could have got really bad there, but you know, he was able to kind of get on track, get his life on track, and come back to Ohio State and be a student coach or whatever, and be able to kind of, you know, kind of come to terms with a career that he thought, you know, not having the career that he thought he was going to have. So, like you said, yeah, it sucks. He was so dominant that year in college, and it's weird because he came in with his high school teammate Mike Conley, and you know he's still in the league, and so. Man, it would have been cool to see kind of both of them still playing in the NBA. So,
yeah, for sure. And I think what makes it even worse that Greg Oden had the kind of like injuries that he had and never really got to establish himself in the league is that Kevin Durant went number two. So there's this whole, you know, biggest bust thing in NBA history because Kevin Durant went number two and like, oh, Portland should have taken Kevin Durant. When I think you... If you went back, I think most GMs would say Greg Oden was the right pick at the time. You can't see those injuries coming. You can't see him playing. You can't foresee the whole, like, you know, he only played 82 games and whatever his five seasons were as a Trailblazer. It's like that's just, it's hard to predict those things. And obviously Kevin Durant's going to go on to become a Hall of Famer and one of the greatest players ever as well. But no one is going to go back and say Greg Oden was the wrong pick at the time. He was a number one pick. And Kevin Durant just happened to stay healthy long enough and obviously become just an absolutely phenomenal player. But yeah, it sucks. And I think that also kind of in Greg Oden, I think he even has said in interviews that he's going to be remembered as the biggest bust in NBA history, which I like you said, I think it's unfair to call him a bust, because for me personally, a bust is someone who played and was bad. I don't consider someone with injury issues a bust, because that's just not in their control. I think it's unfair to him, and it does suck, but yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. So our last two were the same. I'm not shocked at that one. As I told you before, I knew Greg Oden was going to be your number one. I knew he was going to be my number one. And I always think of those two, Greg Oden and Brandon Roy, as like the top two, like, man, I wish I had seen them actually play more in the league type of guys. So those were like an easy one and two for me. And the fact that they both played for Portland just makes me think there's something in the water there. I don't know what it is, but not going to blame anyone specifically, but, you know, get your shit figured out, Portland. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Hits and Goal. And I'll try to get back to a regular schedule on this, since we actually have stuff to talk about now, especially with college football maybe in full force again. But thanks for doing this. I know we took a week or so of scheduling to get this going, but yeah, thanks for doing this.
Thank you. I'm always happy to hop on.
Yeah. All right. We'll try to be back next week. See ya.